Amen? Wow. So awesome being here. Gosh, what a gift. Rachel, we saw some spots yesterday that brought us to tears. We went down that National Avenue, came up on Elm, right across from the Panera that used to be St. Louis Bread Company. And we asked ourselves, we said, boy, so close to Springfield, the town, man. This place is hip and happening. Why didn't we walk down here more often? We realized 22 years ago, there wasn't much going on up there. So we thought, wow, this is crazy. Kept looking around saying, why didn't I go to Kingdom Coffee more often? You know, that place is amazing. Anyway, such a gift. You are where we all have come from, and you are where we long to go. We have journeyed far from Eden, and we are coming home. So let our eyes be filled with wonder, and let our lives be filled with song, and let the way of Jesus lead us back where we belong. Jesus, you're home to us. Amen? Mm. Wrote a song with a friend of mine, Ben Smith, called Whisper, a few years back, and we had come to the section of the song where we wanted a bridge, but we didn't know what the bridge should be, and you can turn your Bibles to Philippians 4:6 if you have them. So we couldn't come up with anything for a bridge. And then all of a sudden I went out with a missionary friend of mine who's a missionary in a part of the world where there actually aren't any missionaries, technically. There aren't any pastors, there aren't any churches in this area of the world. It's quite a dangerous place for believers, really. And I wrote these lines after I met with him. And I'll tell you in a second why. What you whisper in my ear, let it find room in my heart. And like a garden, let your words begin to grow. And when my faith is prone to fear, remind me of your love. Remind me that you never let me go. As I was talking to this missionary friend of mine, I said he has four children that he's raised in the mission field on a part of the world where there are no missionaries. And I said to him, I said, were you ever scared? He looked across the table at me. He said, oh, yeah, I was scared. He said, I was terrified for 3 years, Jason. I never walked through any doors. I never planted any churches. I didn't do any of the missionary work that I was called to do here because I would stay up at night terrified of all the stories that people had been telling me about what might happen to me. He said these words, I never heard this before in my whole life. If you even Google this, you'll just find me talking about it probably. I never heard this phrase. He says, it takes a lot of faith to fear. I never heard that before in my whole life. I wrote that down. It takes a lot of faith to fear. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I mean, you this is how it starts, Jason. You utilize your faith. You utilize, faith is not make-believe. We know that, right? Faith isn't make-believe. Faith is like a baby in a mother's womb, right? You can't see, but it isn't making up reality. It's having eyes to see a reality that isn't easily seen, right? Faith is like a baby in a mother's womb. It's kicking at you, right? It's like Jesus ministering to John the Baptist, Mother Teresa used to say, while still in the mother's womb. Of course a child is a child while yet in the mother's womb. Jesus ministered to John the Baptist while he was still in his mother's womb. Right? So faith is not ignoring, it's not making up a new reality, it's not ignoring a reality like we sang this morning that exists but isn't so easily seen. So he says, My imagination, I begin to fill my imagination with all these anxieties and these fears and these things that might happen. And he said, and then what I realized is I gave a, started with a night and then a week and then 2 months and then 3 months and then all of a sudden a year goes by, then 2 years, then 3 years. I haven't done anything that I'm called to be doing here because I'm so bound by anxiety and fear, mostly anxiety, right? And he said, and then I realized, he said, man, I sure put my faith, I put my faith in fear. None of the things that I'm fearful of or anxious over actually happen, but I keep giving fear another chance. Fear keeps disappointing me. He's disappointing me, but I keep giving fear another chance. And then he said this to me, he said, and then I realized, that's weird, because I never give hope that many chances. And I thought, wow, Lord, you got me, right? Right here at this meeting. He said, I never give hope that many chances. If hope disappoints me once or twice, I put my faith in a hope and hope disappoints me once or twice, I just give up on it. But I'll give fear. I was on the trajectory to give, fear my entire life. I never opened any churches. I never talked to anybody. I never went through any doors. And he said, right then and there, I just got down on the side of my bed in the middle of the night, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to use my faith to fear anymore. I'm going to use my faith to hope. 483 churches he's planted in a part of the world where there are no churches. There are no pastors. There are no missionaries. 483 churches. He didn't plant one church being full of fear. He missed all the windows, all the opportunities. He said, all of a sudden, I started putting my faith in hope, and I began to hit little doorways, little relationships, little moments, little opportunities that led to another opportunity to meet somebody else and meet somebody else and meet their children and meet their family and meet, all because I woke up every morning and I started saying, God, let my heart be awake, right? Let my heart be awake to what it is that you're doing. What you whisper in my ear, let it find room in my heart, and like a garden, let the words begin to grow. And when my faith is prone to fear, because it often is, isn't it? Remind me of your love. Remind me that you never let me go. Right? Thomas Merton, famous Catholic mystic, he said this way, amazing statement. He said, a man can climb his entire life up a ladder. A man can climb a ladder his entire life only to reach the top and find out it's facing the wrong wall. Just put your hands up like this and just let me pray this for you. Lord Jesus, put us on the right ladder. Lord Jesus, we don't want to climb a ladder of anxiety our own life, our whole life. We want to be people of faith, and that isn't to be people that don't live in reality. That's to be a people that are awake to reality. Make us people of prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Yeah. Philippians 4:6, simple passage. I'm actually going to preach a completely different message second service, so you'll have to just stream it. And people from second will have to stream this. I just felt it this morning that I should just go with two messages today. So Paul writes from prison, which I think is amazing, incredibly amazing. This is what he writes, from prison. And it's not his first time in prison. Be anxious for nothing. Or if you're in that one, you know. What does it say? Can't even read it. Oh, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I just love that. Be anxious for nothing. How hard is that? Be anxious for nothing. I'm just going to say it again. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How do you even do that? You don't do it quick. You don't just go, I'm going to fast anxiety. You know what I mean? I'm just going to fast it. We're just going to shut it off. We have to train ourselves to be a people that actually get to a place where we're in prison and we're telling everybody outside of prison, be anxious for nothing. That's unbelievable. What kind of person of faith do you have to be in prison and you're encouraging the people that are outside? That's amazing to me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. This was experienced by Paul. He was saying, don't be anxious about this. This isn't my first time in prison. Be anxious for nothing. This is why the church exists. To have people old enough in their spiritual life to tell us, be anxious for nothing. I'm not even old enough to say that. I'm just 43. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. We're programmed for anxiety in our culture. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the breadbasket of Egypt was owned by Pharaoh, right? He had everything. Even Abraham, a man full of faith, in the famine, finds himself in the breadbasket of Egypt to get food. The breadbasket of Egypt was owned by Pharaoh. He had it all. He owned it all. We bite the bait, don't we? In our Western American culture, filled with antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, some of the highest rates of anxiety medication is given to people who live in the wealthiest parts of the world. And we just keep biting it, don't we? Oh, if we just had a little bit more, we wouldn't be so anxious. Right? And we just keep eating it. And if we know where the bread is. But isn't it interesting in the scriptures, man who has it all, right? Man who has it all, Pharaoh, he owns the bread basket. He's having nightmares of scarcity. The man who has it all is having nightmares of scarcity, and Joseph comes, and God begins to give him dreams and plans. Lord Jesus, set us free from the system of Pharaoh that keeps telling us that the anxiety will go away the more we have. And let us awaken ourselves to the reality that those that wake up every morning knowing that all of our needs are met in you. That's what takes care of anxiety. God, that I rest in your hands, in your arms, in Jesus' name. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. I love that it's separate. I love Paul separates that because supplication is not always, you know, supplication is always a request, but prayer is not always a request. Prayer is being present to what God is doing right now. Jesus, I want to be present. What are you doing? Sometimes I ask too quickly, why are you doing this? What are you doing, Lord? Because that song we sang earlier, I'm going to have Charity do it again. It's such an amazing song. Lord, I want to see you this way. Right? Paul, in they call this his most mature letter because it's one of his final letters. He's at a place of maturity where he's saying, don't be anxious. God's up to something. Remember the first time when Paul and Silas were in prison, they had a semblance of this where they just start praising. And the walls come crumbling down, right? An earthquake happens, the walls come crumbling down, their chains begin to fall off, their shackles fall off. It sounds like a good worship tune. You know what I mean? And the shackles are falling off, and I'm free. And then I'm going to go, everybody's running for freedom. This is the mystery right here in our scriptures. Everybody's running for freedom, but Paul is so free, he sticks around. What kind of man or woman of faith do you have that when the chains are falling off, you've been praising, you're trying to figure out why you're here, all of a sudden the earthquake comes, it would seem like an answer to prayer, the walls start shaking, they start crumbling down, the chains fall off, the shackles break off, all of the prisoners start running for freedom, and Paul says, Silas, I think I know why we might be here. And all of a sudden, they find that jailer who's not been in prison, but now he's fully in prison. And they find him, and they minister the gospel to him, and it says that he and his entire family that day came to Jesus. What kind of people of faith do we have to be to not bite on the anxiety, but actually be so present to God that we say, okay, Lord, why are we here? Chains come falling off. Walls come tumbling down. We could be free from our prison, but we stick around because of prayer. We aren't bound by anxiety. We're looking for why we're here and what is God up to. Jesus, make us present like that. Just raise your hands to heaven. This is a thing for the streets where we live. Lord Jesus, make us a people present right where we live to being able. We could never know what you're always up to, but just to be able to be present enough to ask that question. God, what are you up to? This and this and this has happened. What are you up to? Can't tell you how many times, just keep your hands raised, just to declare this, it comes in simple ways. I can't tell you how many times I have been detoured on flights, interrupted from my direction, wanting to get somewhere, and the interruption becomes an incredible invitation. It's happened so many times, I often wonder, is every interruption an invitation, God? When you get interrupted, could you make us, God, not a place, especially for those, because some of us want to be interrupted because we want to not do what we should be doing, but especially for those that want to get their stuff done, for you, I think it's even more truthful. God, could you be interrupting? And could your interruption be actually an invitation to something? How many times I've been on a plane sitting next to somebody I would have never been next to, and we have absolutely a divine connection. And it was absolutely because I was interrupted from the direction I was going. Lord Jesus, interrupt us. And may we be a people aware in Jesus' name. Remember the story of Jesus and the disciples. They're on a boat, and the boat's almost capsizing because the waves, wind and the waves are crashing over the boat, and the disciples are terrified, and Jesus is asleep. I remember reading this one day, thinking, this is just my mind. I just thought, I mean, were you joking around, Jesus? I mean, really? I mean, the wind and the waves are crashing over the boat that fishermen are terrified, which they were more, they did have a holy fear of the sea and the water, but they're terrified, and Jesus is asleep, and the wind and the waves are crashing over the boat. It just rocks Jesus asleep. They wake up Jesus. How could you be sleeping? And Jesus, of course, talks to them about you, little faith, calms the waters, the wind and the waves, right? I remember one day I was reading that, and for some reason my mind just saw the inverted passage. The inversion of that passage is right in the gospel text. It's Gethsemane. All of a sudden, I just saw Gethsemane. I went right to Gethsemane. I started reading it. It's like the Holy Spirit was saying, don't you see that they're the same? They're just inverted. Jesus is awake to something eternal happening, and the disciples can't stay up for it. Jesus is asleep to the wind and the waves, you know, CNN, Fox, you know, just throwing it out there. Okay, and the wind and the waves. I woke up this morning with this storm coming, and it's important. Because obviously, Americans, we are so insane, we would stay in the path of something like that and just hang around. I told Rachel, it's like they have to create this massive theater of fear just to get people to leave because there's a massive storm that could harm them. This is where we're at. We're so used to it in movies and everything. News has to become so theatrical, it creates massive amounts of anxiety in us just to get us to act normal. I mean, there's a guy on the news this morning, and I'm sure he's like massive man of God, obviously, because he's out there for all of us for CNN. He's like, blowing me away right now. These things over here could be massive spears in a few moments. He's using this language. Tornadoes are probably going to be coming any moment. Didn't he use this language this morning? I said, started laughing. I thought, why is he outside? He's just outside. And we're all almost like, wow, that guy's a hero. I mean, it's amazing. But I'm thinking, they've got, CNN has all their top people down there. I think it's amazing because they need to get everybody out. But why do we have to be so filled with anxiety to just be normal? Because we're programmed. We actually don't even realize it, but we won't even know how to live if we don't live with that kind of anxiety. We don't even know how to get up in the morning if it is an anxiety. And let's just, you know what I mean? And I'm bound by this. One of my major hooks is I love coffee. It's like, just get more and more anxious. Woo! Just always more to do. Kingdom Coffee, excellence in everything. This is an amazing thing. This is why Kingdom Coffee exists, to give you one really amazing cup of coffee, right? So that you can be excellent in everything you do. Because when I have 10 cups of coffee, I am not excellent in what I do. I am way too spazzed out. I do not need, I probably could go without it. So, and Josh knows that to be the truth right there. This is what it means to be a prophetic people. What it means to be a prophetic people is to sleep to what Jesus is asleep to and be awake to what Jesus is awake to. I'm 20 some odd years in the worship movement. I write with all kinds of Wild and Free. I just wrote with my buddy Pat Barrett that wrote, you know, Good, Good Father and some of those songs. And this is the big move. It's like God is in the high places. But, you know, last week I was thinking about this. What about when they got the ropes out and they lowered the man down to be where Jesus was, through the roof? Like, sometimes you're getting to Jesus is what it's about. It's not, Jesus isn't in what we think he's in. Let's get hyped and that's where Jesus is. Sometimes you got to get low to get where Jesus is. You got to have people lower you down because Jesus, sometimes Jesus is right next to you in the house where you don't think he lives. Sometimes Jesus is right next to you in that job where you don't think he is. Sometimes you got to be lowered in. And like a good comedian or a good songwriter or a good poet, you have to be illuminated to the wonder and the glory that's all around you. Abraham Joshua Heschel said it this way, life, the glory of the Lord fills the earth to such a degree humanity can't even handle it, so we create routine. And routine, life becomes routine, and routine is resistance to wonder. So what does worship, what does life do? It's not up or down, it's not high or low, it's not light or dark. It's wherever Jesus is where we want to be. Lord, illuminate to us where you are. Because that's what's important. To be present to what you're present to, Jesus. You just raise your hands like this. Let me pray that for you. Lord, make us a people present to what it is that you're present to. Whatever you're sleeping to, Lord, may we rest to. And whatever you're awake to, Lord, let us be awake to. Let our hearts be awake in Jesus' name. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's a big one, too. With thanksgiving is important. And I'm kind of leading it up because in the second service, I'm going to do a more creative message. It's very circular. But this is important. So if you're not here for the second service, make sure you get it because it's leading into that. But with thanksgiving, thanksgiving's important when we pray. Because, you know, for a long time, I even loved this song. I wanted to sing this again. This is just an amazing song to me. I'm going to be singing it a lot. It's like I used to pray for my kids. Lord Jesus, will you just keep Samuel safe? And Lord Jesus, will you just help, you know, Lucy, you know, not get sick? Or you get what I'm saying. You go in and pray for your kids at night, you know? And about 6 or 7 years ago, I stopped and asked myself, I never come to God with thanksgiving in my prayer. I'm always asking him, will you keep him safe? As if he hasn't been. Do you get what I'm saying? So then I started just changing it, just a little. It's just a little tiny change. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have always kept Samuel safe. Lord, thank you that he is growing, that he's strong. Thank you, Jesus, that he's doing well in school. You've given him a great mind. I don't pray the same prayer every time. I'm just trying to get, just starting with thanksgiving. And Lord Jesus, we just want to be present to what it is. Because thank you, Paul would be saying, thank you, Jesus, that every time we've ever been in prison, you have shown us the new way. We know you're going to awaken us to what it is. So we just want to start with thanksgiving. Because we know that you have not left, that you are here and you are present with us. And you've got some sort of plan. So, Lord, we're not going to be filled with anxiety. We want to know the plan. So, Lord, awaken our hearts to what it is that you're doing. Is that amazing? Let your requests be made known to God. Has anybody else ever been in a place where you're totally anxious about something in your life, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and they say, hey, can I pray for you? And you're sort of like, I'm going to kind of out myself here, and probably you're all going to be like, oh, that never happens to me. But for me, it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've been running, trying to fix something. And then all of a sudden, just somebody comes along and says, hey, can we pray? Can we bring this to Jesus? I can't tell you how many times I've been writing a song or a message or a sermon or looking for revelation in something. and having the hardest time figuring it out. I can't write it. I can't finish it. I can't finish the song. I set it aside again and again and again because I can't finish it. And all of a sudden, I just take a few moments and say, Jesus, could you help me? Tell you how many songs have been finished for me where God literally swoops in with a child that comes in and just says something, and it's the song. And I finish the song, and it's as if God just comes in and answers it and doesn't even require, doesn't even do it. It's so sublime, I almost forget to say thank you. I actually do forget to say thank you. It may be 3 months later that I'm singing it thinking, I asked you for help. And you came in so sublimely and gave the answer, I actually thought I came up with it. And I forgot to say thank you. Thank you, God, that in every circumstance you come. Lord, people that are older than me can sing this line way better than I can. Remind us of your love, of your purposes, of your plan. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Just a couple last little things on this, and then we'll pray for you. A couple years ago, you know how at the beginning of every year in January, I don't know if you guys do this at Hope, but a lot of churches that I go to, they do fasting at the beginning of the year. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I'm like, are we fasting or are we dieting? You know, really, you know what I mean? Just to look a little better for the rest of the year, you know what I mean? I don't know. Has anybody else ever thought that? Or is it just me? So, and I'm like, man, I could use to fast. I was thinking, I could lose a couple pounds. That'd be awesome. No, I'm just saying it, but nobody else probably thinks that way. You're just super spiritual. But I'm thinking, are we fasting or are we dieting? You know what I mean? I'm just going to say it again because it's so funny. But, and the reason I say that is because fasting is about changing us. It's about changing our perspective. It's about changing what we are awake to. It's about changing what we have appetites for. It's about changing our lifestyle. It's about breaking our routine to become more awake to the wonder, right? Really. It's not just about getting skinnier. I mean, that's awesome. Fasting is a very healthy thing to do, too. You should do it, you know? And so I felt like the Lord just said, well, Jay, you could lose a couple pounds. That'd be good for you. But that's not what I want from you. So everybody else was on this fast of food, you know? And I was on a plane, and I was leaning my head back. I said, well, Lord, what do you want from me? What would you want me to fast this month? And have you ever had that where you're coming out of a dream? I'm on a plane, I'm coming out of a dream, and I hear the voice of the Lord, like, that clear. It's like, I don't know if it's my mind is more awake to it, but it was so clear. I don't hear the voice of the Lord very often. It was so clear. I want you to fast something for me, but I don't want you to just do it for a month. I want you to do it for the whole year. And he didn't say what it was, but in my spirit, I knew what it was. Every time you are anxious about your future, I want you to give it to me for the whole year. That's what the Lord asked for me. This was in 2014, beginning of the year. I want you to fast anxiety for the whole year. Now, like I said earlier, you do not just fast anxiety. Like just, okay, I'm just going to stop doing that. What you do is you start to stop doing it. And the reason I realized you can fast coffee in a month. You have to be retrained to fast anxiety. And it's going to take a long time, Jason. I didn't know that. I just heard that. Just that one little phrase. God doesn't give explanations often. It takes time to learn what it is he's saying. And I realized, oh, man, it takes a long time because I'm so programmed. It's actually my duty to be anxious about things. Do you know what I mean? It's my duty. I'm going to be irresponsible if I'm not anxious about this. I'm irresponsible to not deal with that thing. People need me to be doing these things. What ends up happening? What ends up happening is all of a sudden you start having so much time. And you start writing more. People are sick. They're dying. And instead of being like, oh, we're praying for you, you go to where they are because you got time. Because you're not wasting your time being anxious about your future. You start to think about other people. This was amazing for me. I started thinking about other people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. It's like, okay, God, this is what I need from you, and I need you to take care of that then. Okay, well, just give it to me. Miracle after miracle after miracle of God. Actually, it's like we can't find God trustworthy if we never trust him. And so you start to give it to the Lord and you become more and more and more present. Remember, one of the first things that happened was Rachel's cousin got diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And instead of just saying, we're going to pray for you, we went to her house, and it's much harder to do that, if you know what I mean. When a young woman with little children gets diagnosed with cancer, to go to the house and sit there through that pain and have them be frustrated with God and do all, you sit there with them in the midst of all that, pray for them, gift them, love them, and then what? Watch her get healed that year? Completely restored? This is what happens when we give up our programmed routines of anxiety about our future and we all of a sudden become awake to what God's awake to. I want to take that from you because I need some people that can be awake to other people's needs. In Jesus' name. Just the last little thing. Sometimes when we come up on an obstruction, I grabbed a few little quotes from old guys. Wendell Berry's an old prophet, agriculturalist, farmer, poet. He's got a little thing on obstruction. Like, in your life, like I said earlier, these invitations that seem like interruptions, but they're actually invitations to something new. This is what Wendell Berry says. He's in his 80s, which means he has something to say, you know. There are, it seems, he says, two muses. There's the muse of inspiration in our life who gives us inarticulate visions and desires. And then there's the muse of realization who returns again and again to say, it is yet more difficult than you thought. This is the muse of form. And it may be then that form serves us best when it works as an obstruction to baffle us and deflect our intended course. It may be, I love this, that when we no longer know what to do, we've come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. I love this. He says this, the mind that is not baffled is unemployed. Isn't that something? The impeded stream is the one that sings. I just want to say that last part there again. It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we've come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we've actually begun our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is unemployed. The impeded stream is the one that sings. That's Wendell Berry. Here's one from a man of prayer named Anthony Bloom on weakness. So sometimes it's like, hey, here's an impedance. I need to break through that impedance, or I'm in prison. We need to sing. The walls will come down. Then we'll all run away. But it's not just about that. It's about finding the new journey, finding the new way. Lord, anxiety speeds up our life. Prayer slows down our life. Puts us on the right path, right? I want to become a person of prayer so when I'm old and somebody says, obstruction, what do you have to say about obstruction? And I say that. Right? Instead of, what do you have to say about obstruction? Beat through that thing. You know what I mean? That doesn't have hardly any wisdom. You know what I mean? Weakness. How about weakness in your own life? Just think about your own weaknesses right now. Just in your imagination. Just put them all there. All those things we feel so much shame about, so much, you know, here's our weakness. This is what he says. He says, now he's not speaking to weakness that sin and separates us from God here. He's saying, just all those weaknesses in your life that you're just embarrassed about that aren't sin at all. They're just weakness. When you come up on a weakness in your life, instead of being nervous about it, prayer asks what it's for. Weakness, Anthony Bloom says, is not the kind of weakness which we show by sinning and forgetting God, but the kind of weakness which means being completely supple, completely transparent, completely abandoned in the hands of God. Love this. You could think of that weakness also in terms of a sail. Who thinks like this? Really old men of prayer that have lived a lot of life, that's who, and women. You could think of that weakness also in terms of a sail. A sail can catch wind and be used to maneuver a boat only because it is so frail. If instead of a sail you put a solid board, it wouldn't work. It's the weakness of the sail that makes it sensitive to the wind. So, this is the kind of people who probably want to be in worship. You see obstruction, I see a new song. I see a new direction. You see your mind baffled, I see your mind finally employed. Because you're not locked into the routines, you're actually becoming attentive, awake. Church isn't a routine, life isn't a routine anymore. Prayer, what is, you know, the beautiful, you know, Henry Nouwen says, prayer is only prayer. Prayer is only prayer. Prayer is only prayer when we realize that without it, we cannot live. You see an impedance, I see a new song, a new direction. You have a baffled mind, I see one that's employed and awake and aware. Ready to be filled with wonder and newness. You see weakness, I see a sail. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Charity, can you guys come up and sing this song? It's such an amazing song. Charity, did you write this song? Is that on the new record? No, it is? How did I miss that today? I've been listening to that all weekend in the car. What a song. How many of you have felt what you whisper in my ear, let it find room in my heart, and like a garden, let your words begin to grow? I have felt anxiety, fear, stealing you from being present. Present. Just stand to your feet, and I want to pray for you. Lord, as a congregation of people, as friends and family, in so many ways, we are followers of you, Jesus. And you're way beyond our understanding of things. What we need in our world is people of prayer. People of presence. People who are trained to be present. Lord, sometimes I feel like the alternative to that is just being people with all the answers or Lord, I just pray that this morning you would remind us that God's always been like Jesus. Jesus, you're opening our eyes and our hearts and our wonder to see you for what you are. We want to make this declaration. Some of you need to step out from where you are, not because there's something more special at the front, but just to make a declarative act and just say, I'm going to step out from where I'm at and I'm going to come forward, and as Charity sings this song, I'm going to sing it with all my heart, and I'm going to declare, let hope arise in my heart. Give me eyes to see. I want to find the windows, the doors that you have for me this week. I want to be a person of your kingdom, alive to what it is that you're doing. Just step out from where you are and come forward. And then I'm going to actually stand down with you as Charity leads us in this. And we're going to make the declaration of this song our prayer. Let fear be gone and let faith and hope arise in Jesus' name.